to stand, and we're going to pray together. Loving Father in heaven, we bow before you in the name of Jesus, knowing that you have all power in heaven and earth. And Lord, we plead with you to forgive us of our sins and have mercy upon us. Give us the Holy Spirit as we present this message today. For the Holy Spirit knows everything about all of us. He knows our uprising, our downsetting, our misstep. He knows everything we do, even the thing that displeases Jesus. So, Father, today we ask for grace and mercy. We want to thank you. We don't take your blessing for granted. And, Lord, we pray the blessing of the Holy Spirit on this waiting congregation. Breathe your refreshing over all of us and bind us together as oneness. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Remember the sick and the bereaved. Remember our children and our couples. Be with our senior citizen and bless our young adults today. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
Today, our title is Fundamental of the Christian Home. All I have to do is find out where I'm to find it, and then it will change.
Is it on? Make sure you don't see red. Okay.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate.
You see, church, just because we come to church and we serve in church and we have offices in church, and we sing in the choir, we serve on the deacon board, we serve on the financial committee, we serve as elders and community service leaders and ushers, that doesn't make us Christians. No more, as I generally says, standing in the garage make you a car. You see, the reality is we have come to the place that we want to unite humanism with churchism. Now, that works as long as you are with a group of people who are earth with bound. But there's a conflict when the church parishioners, those who come to the church who are called Christians. Let me tell you something. The five foolish virgins were very religious. They did everything the spiritual folk did. They went to church. They sung. They paid. They prayed. They helped people. But guess what? Their reward was in the earth. See, you get the blessing. See, God's going to pay you for the good that you do. But you must build treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. You have to make sure that your living is not in vain. Only what you do for Christ will last. And you have to build those kinds of principles in the home in order for God to truly, truly be on your side. He loves you now. He loves you like he loved the spiritual. See, the carnal Christian will be very active in the church. The problem is they have no Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings Jesus to us. So how are you going to get Jesus without the Holy Spirit? So we need to be praying every day, during the day, that the Lord would permit his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? But no Holy Spirit, no Christ. You cannot get Christ without the Holy Spirit. So we have got to put the Holy Spirit in the place where he deserves to be, right next to Jesus, doing the work that Jesus sent him to do. For he does not come to tell us about himself. He comes to teach us about Jesus.
Christian marriage vows. I take you, Pastor, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part, according to God's holy law, and this is my solemn vow.
Something have happened in the world that has now began to sneak into the church imperceptibly. The devil is trying to steal a march on the church by sowing the seeds of humanism in the church. And what do I mean by humanism? I mean, he wants us to think we can do it like Burger King. You can have it your way. You can get to heaven your way. No, 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 baby. Let me tell you something. If you're going to heaven, you got to do it Jesus' way. And you've got to have the Holy Spirit. You cannot plan to build a decent home without the principles of God. Why? Because let me tell you something. We're smart. Our children, the Bible says, in the last day, they would be wiser but weaker. You see how smart these little children are? I remember one day my oldest grandson said, "Grandma, give me a dollar." She said, "Son, I don't have no dollar." He said, "Write me a check." I'm talking about he was like 3 or 4 years old. You hear me? Let me tell you something. These kids have so much sense. At 7 and 8, I was married before I had that kind of sense. You hear me? I mean, you'd be surprised how wise these children are. Therefore, they need parents who are full of the Holy Spirit so they can lead them and teach them according to the will and principle of God. The real problem is the reason that we have so much of conflict in home, the Holy Spirit is not present. The Word of God is not studied. And if it's studied, it's only studied so we can come to Sabbath school or in church to show what we know. But we don't live it. We end up being church angels, but house devils. We have to understand, just because you can play like that in church, the real deal is what's happening at your address. What's going on with your family? How do you speak to that husband, that wife? Read that one more time, Sister Booker. Christian marriage vials. I want y'all to hear this one more time. Amen. Now look, the Lord say it's better not to vow a vow than vow a vow and not pay. There's a price you're going to have to pay. Now look, in 3 or 4 months, we will be married 60 years. Children, that's a long time, but it's a short time. I don't know where those years went, except that I know through wisdom that we lived those years. They had all kinds of things in those marital experiences. We had hills and we had valleys and we had good times and bad times and wars and rumors of war. You know how it goes if you tell the truth. But the thing that grounded us was not about us. It's about knowing what the Word of God requires. We have to always go back to the Word, for the Word will ground you and help you to stay. But you know, I used to love her. See, what happened is we get caught up on, I saw that dark, tall, strapping, handsome man across the room. And I saw that beautiful, voluptuous woman. She was like Aphrodite. And my heart began to skip a beat. And my eyes caught her eyes. And we were as though we were floating in air toward one another. And I made up my mind at that day, she was going to be mine and he was going to be hers. Romantic love was sparked. But you know what? Romantic love has a shelf life of only 3 months or 2 years. And it dies. You wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent. Romantic love is gone. Then what? See, you've got to get this deep in your mind, and it comes from God. Let me tell you something. Love is not a feeling. Love is a principle. And I made up my mind I was going to love me some Louise Victoria Taylor Booker. I made up my mind, and I made up my mind, I don't care what happened, I would never leave this woman till death do us part. Oh, yes, we've been in the valley, but guess what? I know some Jesus, and he comes down in the valley and get in the mix of the mess and help you straighten it out. So I'm saying to you, that's why you need Jesus. And that's why you need the Holy Spirit. Because before you know it, your little hind part will be on your shoulder. And you think you're all having a bag of chips. And look, life will meet you where you are and take you where you don't want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. That's why you need some Jesus. Christ will help you through this mess. Oh, Pastor, I mean, the way he talked to me, yeah, that was really nasty what he did. Oh, Pastor, she disrespected me. And I know that men need respect. Women need love and men need respect. But let me tell you something. Before any of that, you both need you some Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit because you all tore up from the flow up. We all messed up, broken, and damaged emotion. None of us sitting here is any better than the rest of us. So we need to depend upon Jesus. We need the word of God to lead God and direct us and call us back to the solid ground of the word of God. Come on, Sister Booker, read. I want you to know now, some of you all may recognize that couple. That's Sister Booker and I. She's 28 and I'm 29. We had just left New Orleans, and we were in Keene starting our upper-class sophomore year there. That boy was fine as wine. Let me tell you that. Yeah. I'm still pretty. I'm just full-figured. You hear me? This girl is gorgeous. You hear me? She's still pretty. You know, my oldest son called. He say, I'm talking to my mama, my pretty mama. Even my son realized she's beautiful. And I love this. Let me tell you something. Get this in your head. I've never met a woman I'd swap this woman for. Do you hear me? And that's a choice. You know why? Because one thing I know that God gave her to me. There's no doubt in my mind. I am sold out on that issue. And no matter what the devil throw my way, I get to tell him, get to step in. You ain't got nothing here. Jesus have brought this woman to me, and we are going to be together. I'm about to marry her in February, February 20th, the 22nd, 2020. I'm going to marry her for the fourth time. For the fourth time. I love marriage. Matter of fact, you remember I had my 50th wedding right here 10 years ago. And Brother Landry cooked that gumbo, hallelujah. And my best man, I saw him getting four plates. Let me tell you something. When God does something, you can't put nothing to it. You can't add nothing to it. And God is in the mix of this mess. And you know, we're going to keep it real. We're going to love one another. And not because I'm thin waist like I used to be, you know. This is a booty. You remember back there when I weighed about 180 pounds? She did it to me. All that good cooking. Y'all helped too. You hear me? Bottom line is, living for Jesus is the best thing you can ever do. And falling in love with him is your greatest hope. Fall in love with Jesus. I've got a grandson that got in trouble. And I have visited him. But one thing has happened to that young man. He's 20 years old now. He has fallen in love with Jesus. And you know it. When I look into his eyes, I'm looking at a different young man That young man, though he may be locked up right now, because he didn't follow the principles I gave to him. And I asked him, what's the difference? He said, Papa, I didn't want to be told what to do. See, a hard head will make a soft tail. Don't you know it? You can do it your way if you want to. But if you don't listen to the wisdom of your older grandparents, your parents who are telling you the truth, you so hard head, you want to do it your way. Go ahead on, do it. Go ahead on. For every action, there's a reaction. And every choice, there's a consequence. And parents, let me tell you something. Learn something from Pastor Booker. I tell my children, if I tell you the principle of God and give you the wisdom so that you can make the right choice and you kick it to the curb and make you the choice you want to make, don't charge it to me and ask for me to pay for your decision. Let them make their decision and let them live with the outcome. See what happening is, and some of you are dealing with young people that's on drugs. You know, some of us have to go through that. That's okay. That's their choices. We didn't do it. They didn't see us do it, but they're making choices to follow their friends. If you have the kind of friend that leave you away from the principle of God and the principle of your home, that person is not your true friend. And generally, those people want to use you to make them feel good. But let me tell you something else. A lot of times, the children are hanging out with those people because they are equally yoked. Did y'all get that? Some of our children are not saved. They are very knowledgeable, and they use that knowledge for wickedness. Oh, not my baby. Oh, yeah, your baby. My baby, too. They didn't do what we did. None of my children, I've got children over 55 years old. I've got grandchildren over 35 years old, and not one of them have ever heard me use an obscene word in their life. You hear what I'm saying? Choices. Choosing not to do things that bring the principles of God down. They can never tell you when I ever told them a lie. Do you hear what I'm saying? Principles of God. Have they ever seen me act a fool? Yes, they have. You don't have to curse. You have to lie to act a fool. You can act crazy as a bed bug without cussing or out lying. Just act crazy. Act like you ain't got no sense. But let me tell you something else too. In the home where there is conflict going on, where there's always arguments and put downs and abuse going on, that is destructive to the personality of your children. And even as you get adult children, if you're still acting crazy and being married and acting crazy, that still affects those adult children. Do you know that? That your children want to know when they come home, they want to see the love between mother and father. They don't want to see daddy coming in all hours of the night and his breath smelling like he's a ballroom. That's happening in some of our homes. You walk through and they smell like they manufacturing marijuana. No, I thought that we were the church who didn't drink and didn't smoke. Yeah. But all kind of things are stealing a march on the people of God. We've got to go back to the old landmarks and start following the principle of God and remember the spirit of prophecy that has been given to this church, which we don't want to hear anymore. Mrs. White is too old folkish for us. But if you read her writings, she will speak to your heart. Matter of fact, she spoke to me so hard, I said, you ought to talk to some of these old women instead of talking to all those men like this. But she helped me to be a better wife. I mean, better husband to my wife and a better father to my children. You need to read Adventist Home and Child Guidance. It's still relevant today.
Avoid the first approach of danger. The sole interest cannot be trifled with your capital is your character. Mm-hmm. Your capital is your character.
Oh, yeah.
Cherish it as if you would a golden treasure. Moral purity, self-respect, a strong power of resistance must be firmly and constantly cherished. Let no one think he can overcome without the help of God, and please, please put this into your home, your heart, and your mind, that you cannot overcome anything without Christ.
Amen.
You must have the energy, the strength, the power of an inner life developed within you. You will then bear fruit unto godliness and will have an intense loading of life.
Amen.
You need to constantly strive to work away from earthliness, from cheap conversation. Even in this 21st century, we're still hearing people talk about cheap conversation. From everything sensual and aimed for nobility of soul and a pure and unspotted character. Your name may be kept so pure that it cannot justly be connected with anything dishonest or unrighteous, but will be respected by all the good and pure, and it may be written in the Lamb's book of life.
I want to tell you something. Sometimes people lie on you. Sometimes people tell big, fat lies because they want to shine some darkness on you because of the darkness that's in them. I had a situation, I may have told you this some time ago, but somebody lied on me. Matter of fact, this was a person who was supposed to be presenting the gospel. But he got caught up in one of his situations, and he lied on me. It's not somebody here, way away from here. In 1974, so you know it's been years ago. I was green as grass in ministry. I hadn't even gotten my foot wet. I hadn't been in ministry a year. And this person lied on me and say he could prove the lie. Oh, boy, I'm going to make him prove it. And the pastor came from the conference office, and he says, look, you can't prove a lie because sometimes people who don't even know nothing about it will get involved in that. They don't try to prove anything. And how many of you remember Elder L.D. Henderson? Anybody remember Elder Henderson? Yeah, a few of you all remember Elder Henderson. He was the treasurer of this conference for years. And I called Elder Henderson, and I told Elder Henderson. Matter of fact, I told the president first. I was so disturbed. And the president laughed so hard, he almost fell off the chair in his office. I was calling him from Oklahoma. So anyway, I called Elder Henderson. This is what Elder Henderson told me. He said, a lie can't walk. It must be carried. If there's no truth in the lie will soon die. And do you know, within a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, it was gone. There was no remnants of it. See, but if something keep coming up on you, somebody say, where there's smoke, there's fire. You make sure that you have the kind of character that people can go to the bank with. You hear me? Your character will pay you dividends, because people who know you will say, oh, I don't believe that about him. I don't believe that about her. That's not the kind of character they display. You see, that's when you're living in Jesus and the Holy Spirit got your back. He'll work it out and you'll come through smelling like a rose. See, when people lie on me, guess what I do? I just laugh because it kicks to me. I know the devil is on the attack, but Jesus got my back. And I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've got my confidence in him, and he's going to see me through. Let me see, can I do that? Okay. See, the difference is I keep looking at this when this changes the screen, okay? All right. Okay, read on, my love.
You say the most important thing in the world is family and love. Mm-hmm. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 together.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves.
You see, if somebody is always accusing you of doing wrong, suspicious about you, sometimes it's not about you, it's actually about them. Or they've had a relationship where somebody else have betrayed them, and they are so suspicious, they don't really have a connected with Jesus, so they think that you are acting like the other person. And if you have somebody in your life that's trying to separate you from your family, that's a person you ought to run quick away from. You see, a person who has your best interest and truly love you and know that you are a family type person is not going to want to always pull you on the side and keep you away from people. They got something going on. They may be so damaged, they will damage you worse if you allow that person to come in your life. Even if you've made a mistake and falling in love with somebody like that, you need to seek God's advice and follow the Holy Spirit direction. Because if you don't, you can find yourself in a dangerous situation. There are many young ladies being lost now, being taken. All kind of things are happening. Don't feel so safe today, because there's too much violence going on. We are in the last days, and if you don't watch out, you'll get caught up in some of the devil's traps, because he know you can affect his kingdom, and so he want to get you out of the way. Stay on the Lord's side. Don't dare cross the line and go to the devil's side. You'll never win. Okay.
He's going to pastor the first home, and our home is a model.
You see, they go back and forward. Okay. Okay, it's on Joshua 24:15 there. The problem is we don't have our laptop connected with this system. Okay, but we're together now. Okay, read on. Joshua 24:15. Amen.
I was a sick young lady for about 2 weeks. Didn't know what was going on with this stomach. It was having fun, and I didn't like it. As I thought about the time was coming soon, that I was going to have the privilege of being able to march down aisle with my husband, and he constantly just taking me through scriptures, reading to me, and then just getting my soul ready in case something was coming.
Amen. Amen.
You know you're sick, but the doctor's not telling you.
Yes, yes.
They might not know. They gave me these tests, and two tests that nobody wants to have. But they gave me that test and finally told me that I had
gastritis.
I was so thankful. You know what it was? I was thankful because now I knew they could help me.
Amen.
So
amen. Amen.
We talk about each other all the time because we were 14 and 15 when we met. We married at 17 and 18 in church. We didn't know how life was going to be.
Amen.
Guess what? Jesus knew exactly.
Amen. Amen.
Because we were willing to follow and be obedient to him, he gave us the desire more than we ever could grant.
Amen.
I'm so thankful I married my husband.
Oh, yes. Amen.
This day and age, and you know Christ is about to come soon, and you don't want to be, as they say, with anyone who's going to take you down there. Lift it up, because what the lady said, I can do that all by myself.
Amen.
Jesus can be in the midst.
Amen.
So I'm just thankful. This text here tell me, let's read it together. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
When it happened, he was on his way walking his girlfriend to church, and somebody called one telephone call to come where we are. And let me tell you, one telephone can be the wrong call. You know what? Through all of this that we're going through, Jesus is in the midst, and you have to know that Jesus is in the midst of your home.
Amen.
You can see your children, your grandchildren, or your great grandchildren getting to know the man called Jesus. That's why we're here. Teach our children, to train our children, to let them know about the love of Jesus. He goes there, and I mean, he's having a Bible study with person that's ready to hear what he has to say.
Amen.
He's there in that place, and him and two other guys are running Bible studies.
Amen.
He's eating up the books as I send them to him from the Book and Bible House.
Amen.
To put my head down. Yeah. My head is up high because I know what my God can do.
Amen. Thank you.
He's doing it for my children and my husband and I. And guess what? He's doing it for you. Just stay on the line, side, and do what this text says. Today I will serve the Lord. I'm not going nowhere else.
Let me say that. Let me say it. Our grandson was charged with first degree murder and armed robbery. You hear me? And we asked the whole conference to pray for him. because we know he is a good kid. Many of y'all know Brian. He is just a mellow kid. He's not a boisterous person. He's just a quiet young man, beautiful spirit. But there were some kids in the neighborhood wanted him to come where they were. And that night, somebody got shot. You hear me? He should have been home. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. But because he was there, the person who shot the person who and the young man died, he got 40 years and 25 years. He got 40 years for manslaughter and 25 years for armed robbery. And all there was about six young boys, the other boys there, and they all got charged. One got 30 years, one got 20, two got 20 years, one got 15 years. And through much prayer and really asking ministers and churches to pray for Brian and prayer lines, Brian got 10 years, dropped the murder charge, dropped the armed robbery, and he only got robbery. Now, he wasn't robbing nobody, but he was there. You understand? You can't be there. Choose this day whom you serve. Listen to the principle. You think what we're saying is so wrong, but you're wrong because we've been there. We've seen it. We've seen it with brothers and sisters and cousins and friends, and many of them are dead. Isn't that right, Jerry? Many of our friends are dead, buried in their graves. Never amounted to anything because they hung around the crowds that was fun and jamming, having a good time. They are the ones that everybody wanted to be like because they thought they were so cool. But let me tell you something. Don't be no fool. You stay in school. Get your education. Serve your God. Teach your children the principles of righteousness. Let them see you. You demonstrate what the character of Christ look like. And by the way, young parents, you are gods to your children. You are gods to them. They are following you. And as they grow up, they're going to want to break off. The Bible say, for this cause, shall a man leave father and mother? So your children are going to want to leave. They're going to want to be themselves. But hopefully, themselves will be a part of what Jesus wants them to be and not what Satan wants them to be. Remember, the devil's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants you. You are beautiful and handsome. You can attract other people. And so you're the pretty people, and people want to follow you. Where are you going to lead them? Where are you going to take them? Are you going to take them to hell? Or are you going to take them to heaven? You make the choice.
The good part of all of this with our grandson is by having 65% time, he has, about less years. And by already being there for 2 years, he has less years.
Amen.
Each time he goes to school, each time he goes to a training, each time he do this, that, or other, he's getting time off. So the judge
Amen.
Told him, he said, son, I know the people that your grandparents talk grandfather.
That's right.
And when you come out, you're going to have a life. You're not going to have hard troubles.
That's right.
You. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing but the grace of God. Do you hear me? When you see your family going wrong, you get on your knees. No. Stop that. You get on your knees every day, every minute that you're calling upon the name of the Lord. You're thanking them.
Mm-hmm.
You pray for them. Because let me tell you, he's an on-time God.
Yes, he
and
is.
He's going to take
care.
And don't you ever think nothing else.
Amen. Now, my wife brought up something I forgot about, and that was when the judge was talking to my grandson, and we were sitting there, the judge started speaking well of us and talking to my grandson as though my grandson was his grandson. He was telling, don't look at this as being something negative. You're going to be able to finish your high school diploma. You're going to be able to take some classes. And right now, he's working, Sister Edwards, on his GED. Amen. Because they came and got him when he was 17 in school and took him out of school. And he's been with them ever since. The bottom line is, just last week, one of the people came to him and said, would you like to take some college courses? So even there, what'd you say, baby? That's right. And so the bottom line is, God is an awesome God. Even in trouble, you can find favor with the Lord. Amen. All right. Okay. It changed, okay. Go right ahead. A precious trust. Read it, baby.
Children are committed to their parents as a precious trust, when God will one day require at their hands. We should give to them their training, more time, and more care, and more prayers. They need more of the right kind of instruction. Remember that your sons and daughters are younger members of God's family. He has committed them to your care, to train and educate for heaven. You must render an account to him for the manner in which you discharge your sacred trust.
I'm sorry.
A sacred home. Creating a sacred home. The home sacred should be regarded as a sacred place, a symbol of heaven, a mirror in which to reflect ourselves. Friends and acquaintances we may have, but in a home life, they are not to meddle. A strong sense of proprietorship should be felt, given a sense of ease, restfulness, and trust. Tongues, ears, and eyes to be sanctified. Let those compromising the family circle pray that God will sanctify their tongues.
Amen.
And their eyes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every member of their body, when brought into contact with evil, it is not necessary to overcome of evil. Christ has made it possible for the character to be fragrant with good.
Amen. Okay. Okay.
Many had asked about what can we do on the side. This is the book. To do on the Sabbath, and of course, you can get this book from the Adventist bookstore. They have 52 areas of what you can do. And on Friday nights, it says you can design a poster around the Bible verse. You can spend activities tied to Sabbath school lessons. You can learn the stars. You can write stories, pictures on oversized pads, and then present it to the family. You can rewrite a Bible passage in your own words. Traditional family evening stuff.
Okay.
There are so many ways in which we can work and have our children have a very good time during the Sabbath.
Okay.
Home religion, home for church. It's greatly needed, and our words in the home should be that of a right character, or our testimony in the church will amount to nothing. Unless you manifest meekness, please hear it, kindness, please hear it, and courtesy in your home, your religion will be in vain. If there were more genuine home religion, there would be more power in the church.
Amen. See, we sometimes we come to church and we want to demonstrate our strength and power. And we act up in board meetings, and we conduct ourselves in ways it appears that the business that we're handling is not God's business, because God wants us to be different in dealing with his business. And at the same time, we go home and we act worse. Remember this. Remember I taught y'all to say this? Everybody repeat after me. Home is the place.
Home is the place.
Hey, everybody not repeating it. Try it again. Everybody repeat after me. Home is the place. I'm treated the best, but I act the worst.
Home is the
place where I'm treated the best, but I act the worst. I want you to remember that, because when we get out in the street, people think well of us, and they think we are all of that, because we're always nice and courteous and do these wonderful things and get home and act a fool. We have to realize our home is the foundation of our being with God. The church is established by homes. And when we come to church, we ought to reflect what went on in the home. We ought to bring the Holy Spirit with us from our home. Our homes ought to be a little heaven on earth right here. We ought to be, you know, when my wife used to work at England Air Force Base, Jerry, not far from my house. Now, y'all used to live out there. Well, guess what? My wife, you can almost set your watch by the time she came home. Because when she got off from work, man, she was like, finish her work, everything put away, her hat on, her coat on, her purse on her own, and she was almost like at the gate, ready to pull off like a racehorse. You hear me? She was coming home. Why? Because she loved to come home. Because home was a place where she was loved and appreciated. And she loved her family. And she loved her some me. And she was coming home to me. You hear me? But I'm going to tell you something else we did. We would cook, clean up. When she came home, my wife kicked off her shoes, put on a duster, fold her legs up on the couch, and open up a newspaper while we brought her food. I'm telling you, she was spoiled, you know, for years. And look, when all the kids left, guess what? I was still there. I'll preach hard on Sabbath, come home, fix the food. She's sitting down on the sofa. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit taps on the shoulder and say, silly, go tell that woman to come help you. And she's been in the kitchen ever since. Praise the Lord, everybody. Yes, indeed. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But she just takes 15 minutes. Once she got off, man, yeah, and I'm going to tell you, even though we had cleaned up, it took a woman touch. My wife would take about 10, 12 minutes and touch everything we were done, and it would be immaculate. Even now, I am so, let me tell you something. Married 60 years, I get out of the bed and take my little creep into the bathroom in the morning, and when I come back, that bed is fixed. And I'm going to tell you, I am still excited the way this woman fixed that bed. Because when I fix it, it don't look like that. You hear me? I mean, it's pristine. And I just want to jump back in it again. That's love. You hear me? See, when you cook, you want to make sure there's some love in the pot. Amen? Don't just open a cup, a can of Adventist vegetable. I'm talking about green beans. They show up everywhere. You hear me? And just dump them in a pot and drop some margarine in. Lord help us. You hear me? I mean, put a little onion in, saute a little onion. Put a little seasoning in there to make it come alive. You hear me? And when you taste it, even the Adventist vegetable, it's immaculate. You hear me?
Okay. This is the next to the last. The next to the last. Children of Blessed Adventist Home tell us this on page 161. A precious trust committed to their parents as a precious trust, which God will one day require at their hands.
Amen.
We should give to them training, more time, more care, and more prayer. They need more of the right kind of instruction. And I love saying this constantly, constantly, constantly. Remember that your sons and daughters are the younger members of God's family. He has committed them to your care to train and educate for heaven. You must render an account to them for the manner in which you discharge your sacred trust. You know, sometimes I have this, and more than one time I have this, because it's so true in what I just read about a precious trust. It tells about how children are committed to their parents. And what does that mean, parents?
Well, you see, your example to them, your word to them, can they trust you as a parent? Do you have a word? Can they rely on you? If you tell them you're going to pick them up, or you're going to be at one of their games, or you're going to be at one of their school activities, are you there? Do you show them that they are special? Do you tell them they're smart and brilliant and special, and God has done marvelous things through them, and what a bright future they have? You have to speak positive to your children. Tell them they're beautiful and they're handsome, that God only made one person in the world like them with the character and personality they have, and nobody can do it like you. Now, but also teach them that that don't make them better than anybody else. They're not supposed to take that and go to the wrong place with it. Take it to build your self-esteem and your self-worth, and know that the next person is just as important as you are, but they're not better than you. I don't care what color they are. Amen. Amen.
We've had a beautiful time today talking about the family matters.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're going to leave you with this slide here. Mm-hmm. This is really something for you as we're reading it together, for you to listen at while you're reading, mm-hmm. in your mind and in your heart, mm-hmm. because this is very powerful. In closing, where is your name written? And let's read it together, please.
Our
homes here on earth is the place in which to prepare for the home above. If there are such temperaments in the family that they cannot live in harmony here, they would not, unless converted, be in harmony in the heavenly family. There is altogether too much careless talking, censoring, fault finding, and families that profess to love and serve God. The unkind words, the irreverent and disrespect found in many families make angels weep. What a record is made upon the books of heaven of unkind looks and words that bite and sting like a knife.
Yeah,
and this is not the record of one day in a year, merely, but of day after day. Oh, that these families would consider that angels of God have taken a diary, a record of the character, just as accurately as the artist take the likeness of the human feature, and that it is from this that we ought to be judged.
Amen. Friends of mine, we have to understand that angels love to keep company with those who love Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves to abide in you as you seek him for the blessing of Jesus. Don't think that the Holy Spirit only belongs to the preacher or to the deacon or to the elder, but it belongs to all of us, every one of us. And guess what? Everybody can get the closeness that they want to God, that they desire. No preacher, no prophet can get any closer to God than you can, because God say, whosoever will, let him come this time.
Amen. Amen. Can you give the book us a A big hand.
Thank you, Pastor Booker. Sister Booker. Awesome. This was. This